Welcome to Psychic Babes. I'm your host, Kirsten Sandifer.
Hi guys, welcome to Psychic Babes. I'm your host, Kirsten Sandifer. Today I have a wonderful guest who is a friend of mine and is also my astrology teacher, Curtis Williams. Thank you, Curtis, for coming on today. Really excited to have you.
Hi, Kirsten. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So Curtis has been practicing humanistic astrology for over 28 years. He has received formal training in astrology, and he has many certifications through Glenn Perry's Academy of Astropsychology and Noel Tyler's Master Degree course. Curtis has also, he has local clientele. He has clientele from around the world. He really, he's an amazing teacher, so that doesn't surprise me. But he does many different types of astrology: natal, relocation astrology, horary astrology, synastry, so that's for couples, and then medical astrology, which we'll get into that because I don't really understand that part yet, even though we haven't delved into that. So, and he is also a certified Reiki master and Osui and in Kurenkai. And so today we're going to go into a little bit of a different, this isn't going to be general just about astrology, but we'll go over some things about that. So kind of what I wanted to talk about first is with what's going on in the world today. I mean, astrology is so, I guess I didn't realize how accurate it was until I started taking classes and how, I mean, I think it's actually the most accurate, field of what we do, of intuition and, telepathy and things. I think it really is almost a science, I mean, it is a science, but the scientific community does. Yeah. So hopefully they'll start accepting that soon. But so what I wanted to ask, I guess, is so with what's going on in the world today, did you see that coming in the charts? I mean, did you see that coming in, in the transits and things like that?
Sure. That's a good question. Before I get into that, I just want to say that I've been practicing astrology for about 35 years now. The 20 years is from, I've never updated my website, so that's no one's fault but mine. But yeah, I've been practicing astrology for over 35 years. Now, to get to your question, did I see it coming? Well, every country has its own birth chart for when it became a country. And some are easy to find, some aren't. The United States, there's controversy at times over what time or what date our government was instituted. However, the best way to look at the country is to look at the astrological chart of the leader. So I see it coming. Well, I saw this coming. In fact, I blogged the day before about Senator Ted Cruz and that there was possibly even going to be a coup. So to get back to your question, you look at the planets, the slower moving planets, the generational planets, Pluto, Neptune, and Uranus. Those are very slow moving planets. And so you look at them, see what they're about, what sign they're in, because they're going to be in a sign for quite some time, particularly Pluto. It's going to be in there for a good while. So that's a good way to look at it. Now, right now, Pluto's in the sign of Capricorn. Mm-hmm. It's at the latter end of Capricorn, so it's getting ready to move into the next sign, which would be Aquarius. But Capricorn's about big government, one of the things.
Big brother.
Big government, and that's what we've seen. Yeah, that's what we've seen for the last while. But in particularly, the last 4 years have been difficult. I've been following ex-President Trump's chart for some time now, and it wasn't hard to see what was coming down, particularly the incident on January 6th.
Well, now with the QAnon thing, everybody thought, I didn't buy into it because I thought this is some kind of psyop. This is just too, this is too strange to be, you know, but I paid attention to it and I read about it, but I didn't want to give it too much credence because it just it was too good to be true, you know. When, you know, then this movie came out about the fall of the cabal, right? And they made, I don't know if you've seen that, but
I haven't seen that.
They made Trump out to be some kind of time traveler. And it was just like, it was a great movie until the end. And I thought, whoa, they went really like way off course with this.
Left hand turn there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I think because people thought, because obviously his, I think his uncle was the person who cleaned out Tesla's stuff, you know, when he died, Nikola Tesla. And so I think he probably was privy to some of knowledge that we, you know, that we don't know about, particularly with time travel and stuff like that, because I firmly believe Nikola Tesla was either on the cusp of getting stuff like that or he, you know, he knew how to do it.
He's ahead of his time.
But so getting back to the, you know, that kind of stuff, I guess I thought, you know, I was hoping that we would go back to a norm before, you know, with all the masks and all this kind of stuff. Like, is this ever going to stop? Do you see that? Do you see that happening or do you just see it getting crazier?
Yeah, again, good question. Well, to take on the QAnon, Congresswoman Green, she has a lot of beliefs, in the, especially within the QAnon group. They think a lot of things. And so it goes from one extreme to the other. But there are some theories that, you know, the QAnon people, and QAnon's just very recently, but the conspiracy people have been thinking and stating a lot of things that some could be true, some not. However, most people live in a different reality, which is this reality, and you can't really be talking about that kind of thing because, seriously anyway, especially as a leader, a political leader.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most people don't, have never even thought that way, don't think that way, and it's just not really appropriate. But to see whether a QAnon's coming along, you know, again, generational planet, Neptune is in its own sign, Pisces. And so Pisces deals a lot with a lack of clarity, really high ideals, but also being in the ether, not being grounded. So this is going to be going on for a while.
When you say a while, do you like 2 years? Do you mean 4 years, 5 years?
I'd say at least 10, 15 years.
Goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think for those of us that have sort of transcended a little bit, you know, past a lot of this kind of stuff, it just doesn't really affect me anymore. You know, I guess it's not too much of a big deal. But when you raise kids, you know, in this kind of climate, it's scary, you know, and it's you want to grab onto some kind of hope, but you can't be, you know, you can't be naive and believe that. You know, somebody's going to ride in on a white horse and come in and save the world. You got to save yourself, basically, right?
Right. And you know what? At least personally, my belief is that we come here for certain reasons, each of us, individual. And that's our blueprint is in the natal chart. So I don't think we really want somebody coming in on a white horse. We're here for these types of experiences to feel either pain, discomfort, love, happiness, all those sensations and feelings that we have as human beings. That's why we come here and that's why we have a body to experience those things. But yeah. Unfortunately, Kirsten, we each have, we're acquainted with the same person. And he mentioned to me that we've gone just gone over the tipping point now. So I don't know about if there's any rectification of this.
Yep. Yeah, I was told that the Antichrist is already here, and it's kind of preparing, you know, things are preparing to go down. So, you know, who knows? I'm interested to see what happens with this whole disclosure thing in 90 days. I think it's going to get really interesting at any rate. whether it's going to be some kind of false flag, because I can see the government totally trying to pull something like that. But but from all the downloads that I've gotten, it's very much their attorneys have just said, just calm, everything's going to be fine. It's going to be the way it's supposed to be. Just do what you're supposed to do, and everything, you know, everything will be taken care of. Like, so I'm trusting in that and going about my day doing, you know, everything that I've been trying to help people individually to come around and to wake up. And it's cool because don't you see people more and more people are starting to wake up to all of the thoughts and ideas. I mean, 10 years ago, if, you know, QAnon, if you would have talked about something like that, people are like, what in the world? And now the general public's talking about.
You know, well, there are some major, well, there's one major website out there that deals in what we're talking about, but now they've become more political. But these kinds of conversations regarding specifically QAnon have been around for some time. And so QAnon isn't really anything new other than it fell into the political lap of the
Fauci party. I mean, I definitely agree there. And I guess what is your kind of take on it? What do you, what message do you want to give to people as you know, hope for the future? What should they be doing? What should, you know, listeners be doing to make things better?
That's a good question. Well, I think you touched on that just a moment ago, and that is doing, you know, getting back to the thing, getting back in touch with self, getting back in touch with what do you want? What do you want to teach your children? You have a young child. I have grandchildren. You want the best for them. So what can you do for them? You know, so not to worry about tomorrow so much as today. We only have the present. That's all we have. Tomorrow's in the future and yesterday's behind us. So all we have is right now, and do the best things that you can for you and your family. And I think that'd be very helpful for any individual if they're having difficulty.
Yeah, thanks for that. I mean, that's great advice. Because I know I get a lot of that. People ask me that every day. What can I do to change my situation? It's like, I feel depressed. You know, it feels like things are never going to get better. And say, well, if you feel depressed, change it up. You know, start meditating. Get out of the whole craziness of what's going on. Yeah. Move somewhere else where it's quieter. And, you know, like out in the, I mean, I'm up here in Northern California right now. And it's so nice to be out of Southern California. Just, it's very quiet town. And it's snowing up here. And it's like, you know, this is kind of cool. And, you know, I'm able to meditate a lot longer every day. And, you know, and so I think that for me is what I take from it. But, next question. The reason I kind of sought you out as a teacher, and I was looking all around, and I've told you this before, is because I found your blog and I thought it was super interesting because you sort of delve into things that nobody talks about and nobody really goes into in astrology. It's always just very, here's the planets, this is what this means. But so to explain to my viewers, I saw an article that Curtis had written about how to tell if there's like some kind of rape or, you know, incest or anything like that in the family. And I thought, wow, that could really help a lot of people, you know, get closure, because I know I have a very good girlfriend who that happened to her, and she didn't have any memory of it until she was able to look, you know, see it in her chart and recognize it from there. So, how can you, on a broad scale, explain to people what you would look at for those kinds of things, like those kind of abstract things or something like that?
Right. No, they're not abstract. It's amazing. You know, I have an analytics page, so I check pretty much every day to see what blog posts people read on my website. And I would say every day the most read is usually about the sexual component.
Trauma.
Yeah, trauma.
Well, I mean, what is it? Something like 1 in 4 women have gone. I mean,
at least I think it may be 1 in 3. So there's a lot, and a majority of my clients, female clients, and I've had a couple male clients. Yeah, that happened to them in their families, and it's very difficult. It's a major, major trauma, and they never get over it,
no,
which is unfortunate.
I can't imagine. I would, thank goodness, I haven't had to go through something like that, but I've had people in my family and my friends, like I said, who have had to deal with that, and it's tough. Yeah. And so where would people look if they already understand the basics of astrology? What would they look at?
Okay. All right. There are a number of facets to this, to your question, but particularly for astrology, and that is the major component would be Venus in difficult or stressful aspect to Pluto.
So in like square to Pluto?
For women, well, yeah, square, opposition, conjunction, mm-hmm. quinquile, and conjunct, sesquiquadrate. Yeah, there are a number of aspects that really bring that up. But for women, I would say look at the Venus-Pluto relationship, see what houses they are in, what mm-hmm. signs they're in, and see, and then after you, if you establish that there's a connection between Venus, again, this is for women particularly, Venus and Pluto, then you look to the Sun or Saturn. Both those planets are representative of the father or men or both.
Yes.
And so, as you just stated, 1 in 4, 1 in 3 women are sexually assaulted and or have had an appropriate relationship with their father or brother, a male, you know, that's Saturn. And so that's what I would look at. But that's just the beginning. It's like a thread,
sure.
A thread in a coat. You pull it and they'll just keep on coming.
I know a lot of my listeners are more advanced than, I mean, I'm just learning astrology. So Curtis and I, we've had about 6 lessons and I'm still just on the tip of the iceberg, but I'm starting to understand more of it now. So, but my listeners have quite a bit more expertise in this area. So I think they'll understand kind of what you're talking about, looking at, you know, those different things. Would you also look at your ascendant or anything like that? Or no, would that not?
Yeah, of course you look to the ascendant because the ascendant is one of the health houses.
Right.
The other health house is the 6th, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And but again, it needs to start. You don't want to look at Pluto in relationship to the ascendant. Again, for women, it's Venus. For men, it's generally Mars, but sometimes it's Venus as well. And then you build on that. Then see where the Sun and the Moon are at, and how they aspect Pluto or Neptune, Venus and Pluto or Neptune. And then it starts to tell its story.
Wow. Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, kind of another, and I know this isn't really your area of expertise, but I'm going to ask it anyways, because I think I've asked you to make this in class, but so people who think they might've been abducted or they've, you know, they want to know what their starseed origin is. Can you tell that in a chart?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, okay. When you're looking at the birth chart, that's mm-hmm. that's the position of the planets, the sky when you were born. So mm-hmm. it's a picture taken from Earth, essentially, right? Yeah. So you're dealing with Earth. And as far as being abducted, you know, I would suggest if you're going to look for it, look and see what's going on with Neptune. But from my experience, I haven't ever seen anything and I haven't looked for it, to be honest, within somebody's chart. But I do know those things happen, or I feel they do. And so, yeah, it's a good question. And you're right. It's not my expertise. So the best I can do is tell you, look to what's going on.
There's a couple ladies on Gaia who they actually study, you know, the different people who have been abducted, like the Travis Walton story, and they'll study their charts and try to see commonalities between them. And so I thought that was interesting, and why I've never been abducted, but well, at least I don't think I have. I don't know. Mufon told me I was, but I disagree very much. So.
All right.
But I always wanted to know, because I know I'm Arcturian and I work with Arcturians, how is there any way to tell in my chart if there's where the relationship is to Arcturus or Arcturians, which right. would be the Boots Galaxy, but I guess it would be Arcturus.
Yeah. Person, I don't know that I could tell you, but what I could suggest, because as you're learning and eventually be practicing astrology, if you get a client who says, well, I've been abducted, and just what you need to do is ask them, give me the date and about the time, and then apply it to their birth chart and see what shows up there.
Okay. But what about people who want to know their origin? That's not something you can...
Well, if they have a belly button, their origin is here.
I mean, their starseed origin, for pet, because you can see past life stuff in your...
Yeah, now you're talking about the lunar nodes, and that's, again, and you know, it's amazing. Astrology is a science, but it's like medicine now. You know, medicine is broken down to specialties, and so astrology has too in the last 200 years, 150 years. Everything is a specialty now. So, as far as their star seed, yeah, I couldn't tell you. I wish I could.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I mean, I have a friend who's a forensic astrologer, and she looks for dead bodies post-mortem, you know, after she tries to help the families find bodies. She couldn't either.
Bodies?
She works with the families post-mortem after somebody's been murdered or missing to try to find them. And they've been, she has got a group of, like, there's like five individuals. Some are remote viewers, but the rest are pretty much astrologers. And they've solved something like 250 some odd crimes. Like, you know, I mean, solved not meaning that they were able to pin it on somebody, but solved being that they were able to give that family closure and find the body. And so, I mean, how she does that is beyond me, but, you know, but I know you can figure out time of death through astrology charts. I know it's not ethical, right? But
well, yeah. It's not, I only found out to try to determine the time of someone's death coming up or past.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not something that I teach. However,
sure.
there is a modality called radiesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
That's working with pendulums.
Uh-huh. I'm certified in radiesthesia. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. So get their chart. Hold your pendulum over it. Ask questions. If you're looking for someone, you think you have an idea.
Map out.
Hold mm-hmm. your pendulum out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Geez, I didn't even think of it like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
With their chart. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. But the time of death, or I guess you can't really figure out exact time of death, but is that Vedic astrology only that can kind of get into how somebody's going to die and about the year or the date?
Right. No, Vedic astrology, they say, I've been told, that they could be very accurate with someone's upcoming death. Now, one of my mentors, Noel Teal, that you mentioned earlier in the opening, he passed away about a year ago. And it turns out that the formula for figuring out, well, was this his time of death? Was this accurate as far as astrology goes? And apparently it was right on. So,
that's creepy.
Because of its accuracy, you don't really want to be spreading that because some people become really fixated on it.
Well, and you can also collapse a wavefront. You know, you can, if you focus on something, you can almost manifest that faster.
Yeah, bring it on. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I firmly believe that. So. I definitely don't think it's a good idea to go, you know, hey, let's figure out when I'm going to die and how I'm going to die. But, you know, I've had to kind of have my friend look into some things because I was dating somebody who was doing some destructive things, and so I was trying to make sure, you know, is he going to be okay? Is he not? And that's how I learned about that, and I was just blown away that it's that mathematical and that, that you can actually figure that out. Yeah. And I hope that sooner or later, physicians and scientists and they all come together so we can all work together to help one another, you know, with, solving crimes, with, you know, health issues, because there's so much that astrology can do, and it's just, people poo-poo it still. It's like they think it's kind of pseudoscience.
What it comes down to is intellectual snobbery.
Yes.
I had my own radio show about 10 years ago. And I had, I was going to have a guest that was a professor at the University of Irvine. And initially, when I asked him, he said, yeah, sure, I'd love to. But then when he found out that I was an astrologer, he emailed me and said he couldn't be on. Now, I don't know if it was his personal decision or it was the university's or both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. And what was crummy about that was, as you know, when you schedule someone and they bail, that can really disrupt things.
And especially if you have sponsors and stuff and they're like, they don't care, you know?
Yeah. Right. They think it's a pseudoscience, but they don't really understand that astronomy, medicine, psychology, it's all piggybacked off of astrology.
Yeah. I mean, the sign for, you know, the snake with the, that's an old ancient symbol that we took, I guess it was, what did they find that in Egypt and on cave drawings and stuff with aliens on them? And then we took that and used that in medicine.
Right. The caduceus, I think that's how you say it.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Symbology, astrology's, but that's a big part of astrology.
Yeah.
And it's been around. Astrology has been around for forever, longer than medicine, psychotherapy, psychoanalysis.
Since the beginning of time, really, right? I mean.
Yeah. And the other ones, the other practices, the other modalities are just recent, you know, like the last 250 years. And so that's nothing in comparison to time. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, Western medicine, you know, as opposed to Eastern medicine too,
Right.
Yeah. It's.
And you know what, Kirsten, that's something I would strongly recommend anyone who's listening to this is to find as many modalities as you can and learn them. Such as herbology, such as radiesthesia, which is pendulums, alchemy. These are esoteric modalities and not really discussed within the average conversation. But these modalities are extremely helpful in helping healing other people.
Well, I think it's so interesting. I was watching, I love Paul Stamets. He's the mycologist. He works with mushrooms, and he was on Joe Rogan's show. And he had a stuttering problem when he was like 15, and he took psilocybin mushrooms. And the intention I want to stop stuttering. And he never stuttered again after the very first time that he did. And then we're now seeing all these things with ADHD and that it's helping people with post-traumatic stress disorder, like right then and there, you know, one dose of it, and even microdosing it, and, you know, has pretty significant effects. And, you know, this is crazy that it's illegal. And these people, you know, these people need help. They're going to war for us and we can't, you know.
Right. So a good, I think something to work in conjunction with, say the mushrooms, the psilocybin, DMT, those types of hallucinogens. You know, that's what you're talking about. It's the drug, particularly the mushroom, that heals you. And there are individuals in that world who help you heal through that drug, using use of that drug. And same with shamanism. The shamans go in. If you are on top of this, they will go in, and the whole, one of the major tenets of shamanism is get to the weak point in the genetic makeup before it happens, like with heart disease, for example, and adjust that, fix that. And that's involved, but it can be done through the work with shamans. It can be done with through the work of these hallucinogens. However, this is strict business. This isn't to, you know, just get high and have.
Yeah, it's not to mess around with. It's a serious thing that should be gone. Yeah, and it's a respectful thing.
Absolutely.
You don't do it without a shaman supervision, and because they know what they're doing. they know intimately well what they're doing. And
Are you familiar with the writer and philosopher, and I think he was a some type of priest in the Anglican Church in England. Alan Watts.
I've heard that name before.
Pretty well known, but he introduced his children to LSD, and he got it. This is what I read, anyway, and I wasn't there. I don't know for sure. But what I read was he introduced each of his children to LSD, and he was the mentor, so to speak. He guided them through these, I guess, what would you call them, experiences, trips, and. Same thing goes with mushrooms or with what's the ayahuasca. It's very important to have somebody there to guide you, not peripherally, but absolutely be right there directly.
I fully agree. You know, I think if it's funny because Paul Stamets made a comment saying, you know, if families got together and did like, you know, and did psilocybin mushrooms together and like worked on the world would be a better place. We wouldn't have all these family problems. And I can say my parents are very like strict, never done a drug in their life. Right. Well, 2 years ago, my dad's been in a lot of pain and whatnot. So they came out to Park City for Christmas, and I said, Dad, I really want you to try psilocybin mushrooms with lion's mane and reishi together and niacin, because that's Paul Stamets' protocol. And I'd been doing so much research on what's going on with him. And he was, you know, adamant about it. Nope, nope, nope. And my mom just said, why don't you just do it? What's going to happen? What's the worst that's going to happen? And so my dad and I did, we did mushrooms together, and it was the awesomest experience I've ever had with my father in my life. We got close on a level that we've never been able to before. And it was just, I don't know, it truly was an amazing experience for both of us. And he was out of pain, you know, for once. Now, of course, he's trying to find it, going through the normal route to try to find it. And he can't get anybody to help him.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing. And so there are schools out there that you can take, but they're involved. It's not just a weekend or a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. It's involved. So practitioners, it's very important for practitioners to get some type of a formal education, whether it's online, in person, journeying, astrally, whatever. It's important. And the more these practices you can incorporate into your practice, the more people you're going to be able to help. So, for instance, what you did with your father seems like it worked out really well, but it has to be undertaken.
I've studied shamanism for quite some time as well. I apprenticed under a gentleman for a while as well. And I think that apprenticeship stuff needs to really start coming back, because that's the way to learn under somebody with the kinds of things that we do, you know, especially with, being psychic and doing those, you know, reading for people. You really have to watch it, and you have to go through the trial and errors of it to figure out what to do and what not to do. You can't just go out there willy-nilly on your own, because you could actually really hurt somebody.
Well, unfortunately, Kirsten, there are a lot of people who do that. They're not trying to intentionally hurt someone, but they don't have the knowledge. They don't have the experience. They don't have the backup. And so when they get in trouble, it's not a good thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I mean, part of my mission in life is to kind of create, I guess, a protocol for, at least for psychics, where there has to be a training period and you have to get some sort of certification and pass like a minimum above level accuracy level in order to practice. Because I know you know this, I track my accuracy. I'm very rigid about it, and I'm very strict with it, because and I keep trying to be better. I'm at 81% now, and sometimes I go a little bit down. Sometimes, you know, but 81% is the highest I've gotten. And I know I was telling you the other day, I know with adding the astrology portion, it's going to give me the full picture. And I think, you know, I hopefully I'll get pretty close to, you know, being, I mean, almost 100% accurate. That's my goal anyway. So,
well, you know, and I commend you for seeking out instruction. I did the same thing, and I wish I would have started earlier.
Me too.
You know, I'm in, you know, I'm over 65. So, and I started, 30 years ago, 35 years ago. So I wish I would have started like at 20, 21, which is the general age for college students. That's because then you have more time and to delineate what is going on around you. But I encourage anybody who's thinking about the topics that we're discussing and modalities that I've mentioned to seek out someone who can teach you this.
Curtis is a wonderful teacher, guys. You're also a shaman, right? So do you teach?
I'm a shamanic practitioner, yes.
Okay. Yes.
And I've studied under some notable people, Sandra Ingerman being one of them. And so you need to seek out instruction. You know, I can appreciate why people just want to do it. Go ahead and start picking it up, but find a teacher, a credible teacher, not someone who says, but someone who can tell you, well, yeah, here are my mentors. These are the people I studied under. And then let them check your background and then go from there.
But especially with shamanism, you can get yourself into some real trouble yourself, right? I mean, if you're not, you don't have the proper protection set up.
Yes, there's a certain way to go about it, certain ways to go about it. And there are different, like anything else, there are different branches of shamanism. So I know one, his last name is Cowan. I can't remember his first name. He's a big time shaman, and like I said, Sandra Ingerman, and there's a couple others, but yeah, they're out there.
Well, that's interesting. That'll have to be my next class after we finish with astrology. We'll start shamanism stuff, because I feel called to go back into that as well. But I want to talk a little bit about the medical astrology
report
of what you do. And then I went to your master class stuff. But if you can give the readers just kind of an idea, because I think most people probably haven't heard about this. And I was researching it, and I was just blown away that the different planets correspond to different areas in the body and ailments and things. You know, it was just, I was absolutely blown away by that.
Yeah. Medical astrology is just like medical
intuition.
Anything, because like you said, there are rulerships, planetary rulerships for a different nerve, for the ear canal, for the ear lobe, for the brain, and the different parts of it's important to know these things, and it's very involved. And so here's what I would suggest about medical astrology. Let's get a foundation in general astrology. And then if you think you want to become a medical astrologer, it is involved. And I would say take herbal classes in conjunction or alongside with the medical astrology and study it that way. And it's, like I said, it's involved. However, right, if you have a good astrological foundation and you have clients to come to you for medical reasons, then you have experience as to what's been bothering them. You know, you go to their house of health, you do the rulerships, you go to the transits, the progressions, the solar arcs, the solar returns, lunar, you know, tons of charts. So there's a lot of investigation going on in there. And another thing I would highly recommend is don't make a diagnosis. Just say, yes. I suspect. And
this is what I'm seeing. I want to check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to check it out with your doctor, because you could end up in a lot of trouble, and you could have your client end up in a lot of trouble as well. So yeah, it's very involved, and most medical astrologers that practice have been studying astrology for at least 20 years.
Yeah, I was looking too. There's not a whole lot of them out there either. Few and far in between. I just think it. What is it, like 2 or 3 years beyond the foundation to really go and understand that, the herbology and understanding all of that?
Just, yeah, the basic understanding of medical issues for a client or their chart. Mm-hmm. And if you are a practicing astrologer or even just beginning, it doesn't matter. If you know your chart, you know yourself well, look at your chart. Look at your medical problems and the dates, and then associate, like I said, planets, houses, rulerships of not just the chart, but of the body. There's a lot involved, but using medical astrology.
You can find that online, guys, if you like, for the listeners, you can find that online. There's a chart that where the planets will explain to you what corresponds to what part of the body. Right. So just to get an idea for those of you who are more experienced in this. But I started, you know, when I started doing Reiki, it just naturally for me, I started seeing into, you know, almost doing a medical intuition where I was seeing into the body. And I would see things that were going on. Like for my mom, she had a torn rotator cuff.
Yeah.
And she didn't know that she had that at the time. And, you know, I was doing Reiki on her, and I'm like, I see something totally ripped here. I don't know. And, you know, I'm not a doctor, and I didn't study medicine, so I don't know the names, you know, the specific names for everything. But, and she was like, no, they told me it's not that. And I'm like, Mom, just do me a favor. Just please go get another opinion and go get an MRI done or something. And, right. And she did. And, sure enough, it was a torn rotator cuff. So now my mom comes to me all the time. So she has an ache. She's like, what is this? Yeah. I'm like, okay, Mom, I don't know. It's not a perfect science, but yeah. But for the most part, yeah. I mean, if I'm on my game and I'm keeping up with my Reiki, I can usually go in and be able to see different things. Even like when people are getting sick, I can see the blood, like blood infections and things like that.
Yeah, that's an extraordinary ability. Not a lot of people, at least from my experience, can do that. In fact, we know of a certain woman who was able to do that, and she's also a medical doctor. So not too many people can do that, but it was Reiki that brought you to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was Reiki that brought me to it, because then when I started, you know, laying my hands on people, I just started seeing things, and I was going, what in the world's going on here?
Yes.
I didn't really know what to do with it. And I was really nervous to say anything to any. And I still don't really do this with clients yet unless I know them very well.
Okay.
And then I maybe suggest, like, I'm kind of seeing this, you know, you might want to check it out. But it's still something that I don't know if I've been wrong yet, but I don't think I have. But you know, unless somebody hasn't told me, but you know, so for friends and stuff like that, or if I have a client, you know, my clients that I've had a long time, they know that I can do it. So you know, I do that from time to time. What's more difficult then is like, okay, well, now that we know what that is, what do we do with, you know, what do we do with it? Because you go to a doctor's, let's say I see a blood infection, you know, or something in the blood, and they're having to, you know, go into the doctor, say, I don't know how, but my Reiki master saw that I had blood infection. They're going to be going, okay. And they don't, you know, it's just.
I'm going to take it seriously. Unfortunately, most of them won't. So can I ask what became of your mom's shoulder problem?
So through Reiki, working on it every day, and then she did physical therapy and went to a chiropractor as well, who does like a gun thing. He does this with this gun.
Really?
It's like, yeah, you know, it's like on the muscles, and he does a different kind of chiropractic. He went to China to learn how to do this particular portion of it. I don't know what it's called, but that, and then me doing Reiki on her almost every day. It's fine now.
Good, good.
And I actually know a gentleman who is in Sedona who I've been dying to meet, who is probably one of the best, healers that I've ever seen. He can actually go in there and fix those things for people. He can sometimes. Now, if it's meant to be that you're supposed to learn, you chose to do this and you had right. to learn something from it, he can't always take it away. He can't take it away then. But he literally will like do microscopic surgery with his mind, and it's like nothing I've ever seen. And so he's amazing. But
well, for anyone listening out there regarding, like you said, maybe that injury or that disease was something for that person to experience and to learn from, that's, I would agree with that 100%, but also for the people around them to experience and understand. Yeah. You need a catalyst, and then that person is, and the injury or disease is the catalyst. So it expands and it just continues to grow outward.
It's pretty neat though. Haven't you noticed like your Reiki clients that are coming to you, and they're not waiting till it's like do or die now. They're coming to you as a preventative yes. thing. I found that just recently. It's like in the past year. And I'm like, that's awesome. Because usually people come to me and they're already got, numerous issues and they're trying to fix it. And so then I have to play, it's harder to catch up, so you can alleviate some of the symptoms. But, to take it away is sometimes, it's kind of, you can't always do that.
No, and often, well, at least in my experience, often you can't, but you can provide some relief.
Yeah.
Some context to get feeling better, at least for the time that they're on the table.
Yeah. And something I want to bring up and what you taught me to do, because I think a lot of anybody that's interested in learning Reiki and or knows it, to kind of see the proof in the pudding, and this is what Kirsten did. He said, go buy a plant. This is here's my daughter coming in to say hello.
Hi, Seven. Hello.
Hi.
Because it's Curtis. That's my astrologer. That's my astrology teacher.
Hi.
Remember Mary?
How did I see that?
What?
Okay. We gotta be quiet because Mom is recording a podcast. Can
Mom,
you go
I found candy somewhere.
Okay, you can have a piece of candy.
It's in a jar, but I found some.
Okay.
Can you give me some of my other Grinch hands? Because I have Grinch hands.
In a minute, Mommy's got to record.
I have a Grinch hand. This is my Grinch hand.
Okay, I love
Grinch.
You. I love you. Thank you, Bubby.
I'll choose the candy.
Okay, but quiet, okay?
I'll choose the candy.
Sorry, I have to edit that out.
She's just like you. Yeah.
So what I was going to say is you told me to go buy a plant, and I bought this little bitty plant. I mean, it was this big. And to do Reiki on it every day, and without fail. Well, I'm not home right now, so it's been 3 days. So my poor plant is probably like, what's going on? But I've been doing Reiki on it every day, and that thing grew so fast. I took pictures of the progression of it too, and I'm gonna post them. I'm gonna do a whole big post on my blog, on my website on it, because this for me was like, okay, anybody wants to tell me like this is not real, here you go.
No.
Because and I encourage everybody else to do this as well. Like, just try it, because you'll see, clear as day. Like it.
You will. And what's great about that, Kirsten, is it also, and a lot of my students have said, they're really anxious and apprehensive that they don't really know if Reiki is flowing or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get a plant or you have an animal who's not doing well, and you give them Reiki. You'll see a difference. You'll just see a big difference. You know what's going on.
Seven, maybe. Hold on 1 second. Griff in. Hold on 1 second. Let me just get her dad. So.
Sure.
Seven, come on. Mommy. Okay, please. Okay.
But you came out of the cloud. You came out of the stars. When you, your seat, you just came out of the sky.
Oh, I just met. It just turned up here. So the plant thing, definitely awesome. I also gave my daughter her attunement, and I've been telling her Choku Rei, teaching her Choku Rei, Seheki, and Anchaza Shonen. And I just told her kind of a little bit what they meant. I didn't want to go into too much detail, but I was like, this is how to activate it, you know? Right. And she has been really doing, like, she blew Trent away, but because he was like, what in the world? Like, I can feel that.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, and I think she surprised herself. But because I think before I gave her the activation, I think she was drawing off her own energy when she was, yes. You know what I mean? Because she would always kind of get like kind of tired afterward, you know, when she was doing it. And I never let her do it very long because I didn't know, you know, but she knew it intuitively. And then it was funny. So now we did a whole little ceremony at home, and it was a really neat experience. And I've had some people tell me, oh, she's too young for that. You can't, you know, you shouldn't be giving her attunement at that age. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to do it this way.
This is the time you introduce them to this healing, because everyone could use Reiki. Everyone. And
yeah. It's not for just certain people that know. You can, right. And you can classes online. Curtis teaches them. You know, there's pretty much. You know, you can go anywhere now to learn Reiki, and it's not very cost prohibitive too. It's
no, you know, it shouldn't be anyway. Where once was $10,000, to at least for the Reiki master attunements in class, was $10,000 when.
Wow. QHHT, the Dolores Cannon method, it's about $6,000 to do it.
It shouldn't be. It should be available to everyone. And if it's that expensive, it's not available to everyone.
Yeah. And see, Dolores, before she died, I guess she wanted to make sure that, because they don't do anything online. It's all, you have to do it in person. And she wanted it that way. So now I heard they're offering scholarships to people, but you have to like submit a tax return, because a good friend of mine, Jessica, wanted to do it. And I said, yeah, you know, it's costly, but it's definitely worth it. So I think that hopefully we're starting to get into this thing where these things don't cost, you know, an arm and a leg anymore. Like if you want to learn how to read Akashic records, I mean, it's like, I saw some lady charging like 10 grand for it.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem right to me for some reason.
I mean, there's no way I could afford something like that, you know? I mean, it's just, so, you know, some of these things people need to make it more available to the everyday person. That's also how it's going to spread, and more people will get into it, and more people will understand it, and it'll become more commonplace.
Exactly. You know, Reiki 1 and 2 is generally, at least from my experience, anywhere from 250 to 375. That's not a big difference. And that's for a 2.5-3 day course. So that's, you break it down each day, it's not very much.
Well, they have a teacher on Udemy that does it for, because I was just looking the other day on Udemy. I think it's like $35.
Well, there you go. Good for that person. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how comfortable, you know, you know,
well,
you
get what that's you get just it. Yeah. Yeah. That's just it. But yeah, Reiki is such a great modality, and it's only been here for about 100 years on the West. You know, yeah. So it's in its infancy, really, here in the United States.
Well, and I don't know if you do this, Curtis, but with energy work and stuff, I kind of take my, I do Reiki, but I do my own sort of version of it. You know, and I think I've told you I work with the red light, and energy, so I can see it now. And I do different exercises that help me be able to see that where the energy is, like every day walking around. So right. I'm able to see little nuances when I go into somebody that I wasn't able to see before.
Right.
So I think that you know, that kind of like, you don't have, it's not like a one size fits all. You can kind of mold it to how, you know, whatever fits kind of.
And I encourage that because you have to be yourself and you have to use your intuition into how you want it to work. And Kirsten, just briefly, anyone listening out there who says, well, I don't know, I don't see energy and I don't think other people do, I would suggest that when you have your hedge or tall grass cut down, just look at it and you'll see about a 2 to 5 inch layer on top of it of white energy just glowing. And that's the plant.
Oh, wow. I hadn't even thought of that. That's another great one. What I tell people to do is to go in a room, a black room, and then close their eyes and picture white light that you're taking in white light. Breathe it in 3 or 4 times and then breathe out and then open your eyes and you'll see the white staticky all through there.
Okay.
And yeah, but it has to be really dark. What you can start putting a little bit more light once you've gotten used to it. But everybody thinks that they're like, and they remember it when I have them do this. They're like, I remember that as a kid. I remember seeing that. It's like, yeah, you did. And somebody told you that it was just not real or it was, you know, something.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, kids, we are the ones that take that away from kids. You know, they are born with it and they know the stuff naturally. And then the ones who mess them up by telling them, no, you don't have imaginary friends. That's not real. Or, you know, there's nobody there, you know, and things like that. And
it's
crazy. Yeah. But let's talk about your master class, because I know, and kind of tell people what that's about for the more experienced people that maybe want to learn. Because Curtis goes into some very deep things that are far beyond, you know, what I've ever seen out there being offered. And so I think this will be pretty appealing to people.
Okay. Well, with the master class, there's, I think, 20 lessons, and they're very involved, a lot of questions. One of the first classes is about observing the person, not necessarily your client, but observing a person, how they dress, how they act, what they say, determine the level of one's education or lack of. And that is shown in the chart as well. And I'll teach you how to look at the chart and see which houses are under developmental stress and which ones aren't. Anyway, the classes go all the way up to, you know, we talk about hemispheres, we talk about just the education, we talk about the, what am I looking for here? I can't get it off the top of my head, but they're very involved. And
these are like higher concepts that really deal with kind of higher ideals, not just one person, right? It's kind of.
And the individual person will have to write back to me. I'll give them the question. Mm-hmm. I'll send them the questions, I should say. And they will have a week